from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Look at what we got here. To my right is the Hall of Honor for the Steelers.
I can't hear.
The FedEx Great Hall, and I see the raging visage of one Jack Lambert, and I don't even know what visage means. And then I see Jerome Bettis right next to him, larger than life. We are right outside of Acrisure Stadium, which I almost just called Heinz Field. Paul Zeiss, how are you? We're here for the Pittsburgh PPS, school students, public school students. We're here to provide stuff, backpacks and all kinds of things. Drive-through donations available right now. Paul, I know you've done this event before. Bob Pompiani back in the studio. It's good to be here with you, my friend.
Yes, it is. And in about, I don't know, whenever this thing opens up, was it 11 maybe, or whenever this thing opens up, you're going to see a tidal wave of cars come rolling through here.
Yeah.
And it will not stop for hours.
Well, we're going to have various guests on today talking about the proceedings here, and you can certainly help out and join in. It's Gold Lot 1A, and you just pull right through. We've got all kinds of people helping here, tons of volunteers.
They've got, you know, the Pirates have a thing set up there. I can see UPMC, PNC. I mean, it's a big ordeal here, this whole backpack. This push to get students, Pittsburgh Public Schools students, backpacks ahead of school, which is obviously an important thing. We even got the dance team over here getting ready.
Yeah, we do. Little did I know that our very own Denise Suba used to be a cheerleader for the Pittsburgh Arena football team. Did you know this?
I did not.
This is incredulent. And Cornelius here deserves an early MVP award. 10 minutes ago. We don't have power, which is a problem. In fact, Cornelius had one of the great lines in fan history. At 9:58, he said to City Limits back in the studio on my phone. He used my phone, and this is a direct quote. So what happened was we were supposed to have power, and then we didn't. The generator's not going to be here till 11, but Cornelius stepped in. What a man he is. Take a bow, Cornelius. Say hello to the people. If you can. That might be asking for too much. Yeah, that's asking.
Hello, hello.
There he is.
There he is. We got it.
Say hello, Cornelius.
Hello, everybody.
You did a hell of a job. I want to tell people
it was stressful.
That. Yeah.
Very stressful.
Now let's see how good it was if we can get Bob back in the studio.
Hello, Bob, gentlemen. How are you? Yes, I am.
This is incredible, Paul.
It's a broadcast like none other.
Bob is holding things back in the studio in case things go haywire out here.
Right. We should also –
what a man he is,
We would be remiss if we did not mention that this is all put on by our sister station, WHAMO.
Yes, and their booth is right next to us.
Right. So
WHAMO 107.3.
We're here. WHAMO's next to us. Next to us on the other side is Marty Griffin.
Marty Griffin.
And KDKA. And so it's a big – all hands on deck type of activity.
It's absolutely incrinculant here. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of things happening on today's show. We have a big pirate story that could be brewing, but we also have a lot of Steelers to talk about. And I must say, it's not going to be happy talk. It just can't be. I mean, we should probably start with the quarterbacks. And the fact of the matter, Bob and Paul, is that the national media is driving the idea that there's an actual competition here. And if you don't believe me, let's listen to a couple clips. City Limits, why don't you introduce each one of these three clips, who's going to be talking, and then go to it, okay?
All right, Joe. First, it's Dan Orlovsky's thoughts on Justin Fields.
Before we get to the tape, I would respond to Hawk with this. Number one, Justin Fields should start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two preseason games in 2 weeks till the season, I think it's obvious that Justin brings more good than bad in comparison to Russ. The sacks, I would disagree that they're all on Russ or all on the offensive line, excuse me. Here's my pushback, and the tape is going to say, you know, Mike Tomlin, Coach Tomlin says that's not how we operate. I think that's the biggest issue right now. The Russ that we saw isn't operating this offense, and they're certainly not contenders with the Russ that we saw from this past weekend. There's a lack of consistency.
Next is Lewis Riddick on the Steelers quarterback competition and what he thinks should happen.
Yeah, I'm biased right now. Look, I'll tell you what, Linda, I'm going with Justin Fields simply because of the fact that, one, he's been the player that's been healthy and that's been available. And two, I think he is taking full advantage of those reps and those opportunities to go ahead and show Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith that he has that dual threat capability that can really take this offense to another level as he continues to get more comfortable with it. So look, we'll see how this plays out. I know Mike Tomlin has said repeatedly that Russell Wilson is in the pole position. Tonight, you could probably say the performance was like a C or a B minus, maybe on Russell's standpoint, considering the fact that he was under duress right from the get-go, was sacked three times. But I think it's just Justin's ad-lib ability.
And finally, Mike Greenberg channeling his inner Dan Zangrilli and pouring water on the situation. This was from Friday.
The only team that it makes sense to do that is a team that is Brandon Ayuk away from winning a championship right now. So I ask you, is New England that? Certainly not.
Whoa.
Is Cleveland that? Maybe, which is why that made sense to me. Is Pittsburgh that? That's a really interesting question, because while I remain a Justin Fields fan, I have to acknowledge at some point the doubt creeps in. And the Steelers may have replaced one bad quarterback with two bad. What has happened here? But if I'm wrong, I would love to be wrong, because I am a Justin Fields fan, supporter, believer, and I continue to hope that things work out well for him. The best thing that could happen there is would be if they go out and trade for him. It would be very un-Steeler-like, but that feels like the one situation that remains. To answer all the way back to the beginning of your question.
There you go. And I would add to that Kyle Brandt over at NFL Network, who I like a lot and who's pretty connected, he thinks that Justin Fields will start the opener and should start the opener. So let me go around the room here, even though Bob is in a separate room, with a very simple question before we get into who's playing better, everything that happened the other night. Is there an actual competition going on here? Does Justin Fields have any chance to start the opener?
Well, if Lewis Riddick said it, then I believe it, because he's the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. So whatever he said, how am I going to argue with him? That being said, the utter lunacy of these people to make a judgment based on, what was it, four drives from Russell Wilson, maybe five? Four or five drives after he practiced, what, two full days maybe? Maybe two full days where he did everything, fully participated? We have three more weeks to the season. If he practices, right, two and a half more weeks or whatever it is to the season, if he practices every day, fully participates, right? I'm going to go out on a limb. When's the next game? Thursday or Friday? He'll look better Thursday or Friday. And then what? I don't know what we're talking about here. You know what I see from Justin Fields? I see the same exact guy that he's been for 4 years or 3 years or whatever it's been. A guy who the national media guys seem to love a hell of a lot more than he actually warrants. He's a guy that, you know, we get all excited and googly-eyed because he makes a few plays with his legs or makes a dynamic play here or there. You don't win with that. You win with a guy who consistently can make throws from the pocket, who can consistently throw the ball on time, who can consistently get you third and sixes, convert them. Okay? That's what you win with. Justin Fields has never been that guy. He's always been very inconsistent. You show a few highlights at SportsCenter on Sunday night where he ran around and did some things that no other quarterback can do, and you're like, wow, this guy, I can't believe that the Bears aren't winning with this guy. He's the same exact guy, if you ask me. Now, maybe, listen, if I'm wrong halfway through the season, I'll tell you, okay, I was wrong. He has actually improved completely, but I haven't seen that yet.
Bob, is there an actual competition going on here?
I think there should be, but I don't think there is. I think that, you know, Mike Tomlin's made it pretty clear that Wilson is going to be his guy. Listen, you haven't practiced a lot. That's a concern. Calf injuries are a concern. Russell Wilson's age is a concern. The fact that they played both of their two top quarterbacks in this game and generated 139 yards and 3 points is somewhat worrisome. Now, I know it's preseason, and I know you can get carried away with it, as what happened here last year with Kenny Pickett. I understand it, but you got to have something more than this heading into the season, I think. And the reason I say that, Paul and Joe, is because the way this season starts, three of the first four on the road, they have to make good early on, because I think later in the year, this is going to be a problematic schedule. So you want a quicker start. Does what we see in the preseason mean they won't start fast in Atlanta? Probably not. They're probably not connected, but there's enough to be concerned about. I always say the preseason doesn't matter until it matters. And right now there are so many concerns, especially with the fact that on third down they're getting penalties. You know, they spend all this time talking about what they need to do, stay on schedule, practice this, practice that, practice this. And yet they were 8% on first down, on third down efficiency, I'm sorry, over the first two games. 8%. Not only that, they've made a combined 12 penalties. A lot of them on second and four, which becomes second and 10, then leads to third and long. All these things are concerning, and to me, the biggest factor going on here right now is the fact that last year, while this team did not have much injury issue with their offensive line, all of a sudden now Faitanu's hurt. You know, Nate Herbig could be out for the year, and it looks like Broderick Jones has something going on. He got dominated in that game. This is supposed to be a physical team that applies its will to you, and that's what they want to do. I haven't seen any evidence of that so far, but again, it's only the preseason here, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here, but to the simple question of is there a quarterback competition going on, I'm with both of you. I don't really think there is, and yet I think that Mike Tomlin absolutely loves Justin Fields, so I wouldn't be surprised if the timelines moved up. But what was the biggest story still is Russell Wilson still any good? That's the story here. So I agree with Paul. The leaping to a judgment of somebody like Orlovsky after his first preseason game with a new team and with Broderick Jones looking like, I don't know who, in front of him, Jonathan Scott or somebody. I mean, that was ridiculous what happened to him. Greg Rousseau isn't exactly Bruce Smith. He had 5 sacks last year. He tossed this guy around like he was a little rag doll. It was unbelievable. So I don't think there's a competition happening right now. And what's more, I kind of agree if what you were trying to say, Paul, is that people, for some reason, it feels like they're deluded a little bit on Justin Fields. I would never implicate my friend Ray Fittipaldo, except that I will, because he had Justin Fields as one of the risers from the game the other day. Is that what you guys saw?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw a complete helter-skelter.
Yes.
Obviously, he's a great athlete, right? So is Mitch Trubisky. They can both make plays. The question is, can he consistently deliver? And so far, there's nothing in rhythm. There's nothing clean. There's nothing on schedule. There's a guy just ad-libbing.
Right.
And it looked horrible. What about the fourth and two the other day where he loses 7 yards? I don't know. I must be missing something on Justin Fields as a positive so far.
Well, that's been something that throughout his career, for some reason, he's one of these guys that – national media types, the Lewis Riddick's types, those kind of guys, that they love them.
Orlovsky's loves him more than anybody.
But what I'm saying is they love the – this is what I'm talking about the last 3 years. I'd watch these shows every week, and it would be like, well, Justin, you know, you if you didn't know any better, you'd think that Justin Fields was playing better than Patrick Mahomes most weeks. And it's like, watch a – entire game with this guy, what you see is the dynamic every so often comes out.
Now, if they want to line up with Justin Fields and run Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson from 3, 4, 5 years ago, that might be their best option. I still need to see Russell Wilson and be convinced that I still think he's good. If they want to do that, then that might be their best option. But this guy is how is he a positive so far? Are we watching
He's
the
not,
game?
That's what I mean. They're not going to do that. So if they're not going to do that, you're going to
eventually
need...
Eventually they might,
You're going to need a guy who's going to be willing or who's capable of and who can basically make sure that consistently he makes plays third and short, third and five. You know what I mean? Those kind of plays are what decide games.
Fourth and two.
The big play where he runs around and he gets 35 yards rushing or whatever, or runs around and throws one down the field, they happen occasionally, but you're not going to live on that. You might win a game or two because he makes a big play here or there, but you have to be able to have consistency from the quarterback. And Justin Fields has never been consistent like that. That's why this whole and I don't know if you saw it last week. I wrote about it in the Post-Gazette. I wrote a column about both of the quarterbacks. And I'm like, I remember 2 years ago, people were all excited because they felt like they won the lottery by getting Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. And it was like, except nobody really took a look at the actual situation and said, well, there's really not a lot to get excited about yet about either of these guys. And it turned out to be true. I'm not saying these two guys aren't capable, but what we've seen from Russ Wilson the last 2 years and what we've seen from Justin Fields the last 3 years, I gotta be honest with you, that probably should mean or carry a lot more weight than a couple of really, you know, incredible broken plays were made at St. Vincent.
I thought Russ was good last year, but now Greenberg's taken a lot of heat by saying did they replace two bad quarterbacks with two other. He might be right.
It's a fair question.
I've been on the Russell Wilson bandwagon, Bob, and I still am. I still think Russell Wilson is going to be good. I think to judge him on the other night is patently,
ridiculous. I agree with that.
And with Fields, some of the great plays he's made in preseason, if he's going against starters, those are interceptions or sacks, Bob. Your take.
No, yeah, I agree. And I think if you look at the number of passes that were thrown, 80% of them were little, you know, dink and dunks, checkdowns, that sort of thing. And again, I can't draw too much emphasis on the fact that this was a preseason game. And I'm not going to sit here and say that they were playing with a full complement of players. Obviously, they weren't. But you also have to judge what you see. And the fact that Russell Wilson hasn't practiced a lot, only has one game, you know, I need to see more going into this because of what I said before, the beginning of the season's not easy. You got to win games when you can win games. And, you know, he had a good year statistically last year, but these two quarterbacks also, and this is a part that really makes me nervous if I'm them, is they led the NFL in sacks, being sacked. Both of them are at the bottom of the list. And you can look at offensive line all you want. You could look at hesitation to make throws. You can look at a lot of different things. But these are the kinds of plays that really put you back in a hole and set up third and very long. Justin Fields is a tremendous athlete. I don't think there's any question about that. But I saw, and Joe, you used the word helter-skelter. I think that's a pretty good assessment of a lot of running around, you know, did not throw the ball. And I know, you know, from our booth vantage point, there were a lot of guys not open. So I understand that. But you can't do a healthy diet of that stuff. On that fourth and two you talked about, Buffalo had called a timeout right before that. They knew there was going to be a read option. The problem was I don't think Justin read the option very well, and he had an opportunity to hand off, and there was a bigger opportunity. As a quarterback, you got to make that play. You can't just tuck it away all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's also part of this as well, just learning more of this kind of offensive system, which is why I think they should play both of those guys at least a little bit on Saturday.
I think they should play Russell Wilson, if anybody, or maybe not, the way the preseason's going. I mean, this is the biggest story to me so far is Broderick Jones and the offensive line, mm-hmm, and the injuries, all those things. And I think he's injured too. They want to run this real tough physical camp where they're the ones tackling, and we're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this has been the theme now for a couple of years with Andy Weidel getting back to physical football, and we're going to tackle in camp, and we're going to play our guys in the preseason, except T.J. Watt, Minka, and Cam. And then they get hurt. Why is Jaylen Warren on the field? He's got 17 games ahead where he's going to get the crap beaten out of him and beat it out of other people too. What do we need to see from Jaylen Warren, honestly? But the bigger story is Broderick Jones and Fatanu. Of course, he's hurt too. They're both hurt. Here's a sentence that I'd love for either one of you to make sense of. The Steelers have drafted left tackles in each of the past two first rounds, including one they traded up to get. They have drafted left tackles in consecutive years, and neither one of them, as we sit here today, is playing left tackle. How the hell does that make sense?
It doesn't.
Bob?
It doesn't. And Paul, I would say, and Joe, you know, they're left tackles. Fatanu, I guess, is going to have to play right. I always thought he would be right and Jones would be left. But Fatanu played 97% of his snaps at Washington at left tackle. So Dan Moore, just because he's a veteran and is over there right now and is limited because he doesn't do well over a right tackle, that's a handicap. You got to make a decision about that when they're healthy. And when they're healthy is those two guys should start ahead of him, and he's a nice insurance policy for now. But you can't just say because he's been here for a long time that he's the guy who has to play, and he's limited because he can't move over there. Well, they have other guys that could switch over there if they like him enough.
Broderick Jones looks unplayable.
Yeah, he looks hurt. Troy Fontenot looks like a rookie. I mean, I keep hearing this about Dan Moore Jr., but right now he's your best option.
Right now he's Jonathan Ogden on this team.
Exactly. That's my point. Everybody is. This is what drives me crazy about narratives, right? We come into the training camp, people have this narrative. Well, Dan Moore, we got to get rid of him. We got two tackles.
They do have to get rid of him.
They do, but my point is right now, he's better than the other two guys.
Well, what does that say about drafting Broderick?
I don't know what it says.
First of all, they keep switching the guy back and forth.
Right. He should be your left tackle.
They're in the middle of ruining Broderick Jones.
He should be your left tackle. I'm not arguing that he shouldn't be your left tackle. That's not what I'm arguing. What I'm arguing is that this idea that somehow it's an abomination that Dan Moore is starting ahead of these other guys, and I'm like, well, I don't know that these other guys have proven they should be starting ahead of him.
I think it is an abomination.
It's more an abomination about the fact that maybe they drafted the wrong guy. That's what I'm saying. My point is, I keep hearing people talk about Dan Moore Jr., and that's great, but right now, guess what? He's your best option at tackle.
He might be. Although Broderick Jones needs to be on the left side. They're ruining him, Bob. They are.
Do you think he's healthy?
No. But as Chris Carter pointed out in the Post-Gazette today, from the left side, he's using his healthy arm as his punch arm. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds.
No, I've heard that too.
He's better off on the left side. All I know is they keep drafting left tackles in the first round every year, and neither one of them is a left tackle yet. It's ridiculous. This is Chuk Okorafor all over again. Yeah, let's sink money into him. Oh, no, let's draft an undersized guard out of Illinois who doesn't want to play center and then put him in front of Ben for the last year of Ben's career. That's a great idea. Oh, no, let's have Kevin Dotson and play him out of position. Then he goes to a new team and becomes a top five offensive lineman in the whole NFL. Let's get rid of this veneer that the Steelers know what the hell they're doing, because they don't on the offensive line.
At least when it comes to offensive linemen, we've seen a lot of just really ridiculous things.
And I know it's different people making some of those decisions, but some of them are the same, Bob.
Well, listen, as much as I like Zach Frazier, too, at center, now he's going to be the only guy there. They don't have much. They don't have a lot of people with experience at center. So you talk about a long season and injuries or maybe being overmatched at times. This reminds me, and I'm not going to equate these two because I think Zach Frazier is better, but when Kevin Green was forced into this situation, it was a terrible situation for them to be in, to start at center with a quarterback like Ben who was at the final stages of his career and he couldn't move. That's difficult to do. I'm just saying the depth becomes an issue now. With these injuries, you wonder about, can Mason McCormick eventually play center if need be? Can Spencer Anderson play there or elsewhere? All of a sudden now, what was looked at as a potential strength could become a weakness, at least from a depth perception.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I hear Cabali today saying how easy it is to go from left to right tackle on our station. If it's so easy, then how come Dan Moore admittedly can't do it if it's so easy? It was John Runyon on Cook and Joe about 2 years ago, and it was back during the Grand Chooks experiment when they wanted to play him at left tackle, realizing that he couldn't switch either. And Runyon said, for a lot of guys, it's like learning a new language. That seems obvious to me. Your first step is different. Your first punch is different. The angles are what are we talking about here? Some guys can do it seamlessly. I get that. But a lot of guys can't. And I think, and this just makes sense to me, I think if you're going to draft left tackles in the first round every year, you might want to play them at left tackle, or at least try to. I realize both can't play left tackle. And if this doesn't work, then why don't they just sign Dan Moore to an 8-year, $110 million contract?
And make him your guy.
Damn good.
Make him your guy. I mean, really, if you think about it, this is probably a tough question to answer, but when was the last time they drafted a can't-miss really offensive lineman that really became really good?
DeCastro?
David DeCastro back in 2012, probably.
Okay. How many linemen have they drafted since then?
When was Pouncey taken? I'm trying to remember the year.
I think he was
10, 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember they went to the Super Bowl. He couldn't play, remember?
That's right.
So Pouncey and DeCastro is what we're going with.
I mean, listen, they're playing for 1 year here. They're all in for this year. That's why they went out and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they went out and got Patrick Queen. And this isn't like a young, rising team. These are the Steelers who claim they're playing for this year and this year only. And with the season opener beckoning here, the vibes are not good right now. What do you guys make of Jaylen Warren playing and carrying the ball for the second game in a row? Buffalo sat out Josh Allen to avoid that field. He was supposed to play. And Tomlin sat out T.J. Watt and Minka and Cam. I don't know if it had anything to do with the field or that was predetermined. What is Jaylen Warren doing on the field? For what?
Well, again, I mean, it's a tough one for this from this standpoint. It's a tough one from this point. You have a brand new offense that you're trying to at least get a little bit of continuity with. And so I don't have a problem with them playing some guys and trying to get them all on the same page. But the other part of it is now he's out for 4 weeks. You know, it is what it is. He'll miss a game, but I don't know that that's going to be that big of a deal. I mean, at the end of the day, he'll still play the final 16.
I don't know, man. I've seen those hamstrings.
Hamstrings are difficult. That's right.
I just don't understand it, Bob. I don't get it. That's the strength of your offense is you have two good running backs, and I think this kid potentially could be really, really good. Plus, they're two unbelievably physical running backs who are going to take a pounding this year. What are we doing? You're not going against a defense that, although the Bills did more than most defenses do in a preseason game, but it's not like they're game planning. I don't know what you get out of it, I'll be honest with you. And this whole training camp thing, like we're going to be the most physical training camp in the league, if that's what they're shooting for. And I'm not saying all these injuries have to do with that, but look at the injury list. Nate Herbig, gone. Jaylen Warren, multiple weeks. Peyton Wilson, out. Russell Wilson, the quarterback, gets injured on a blocking sled. Broderick Jones, injured. Russell Wilson, I already talked about him. Fotanu, injured. Beanie Bishop, injured. Alex Highsmith, battled a groin injury. I can't help but think that some of it has to do with that.
Well, I think, listen, I'm not going to second guess the fact that they got to play people because you have to play some people sometime. Jaylen Warren had one carry, though.
And it's also trying to have the most physical training
right.
camp in the world.
I understand, but I'm saying you can't run away from the fear of, oh, somebody's going to get it. It can happen in practice. I've seen a lot of non-contact injuries throughout the league that happen in regular 7-on-7 over the course.
So you'd play T.J. Watt?
No. For a little bit I would, yes. I would have played him on Saturday, but I guess the rain changed that. Just because he's got to get a little exposure in there. I don't know, just to feel about, just to get something under your belt. And I'm not going to criticize that because people have to play. If you look around the league, some of these guys play – The whole intent for Josh Allen, by the way, was to play a quarter and a half. That's what we heard from their staff, and then that changed with the rain. I understand that. That's a different situation. But if it was dry, he was going to play a quarter and a half. Do you have a problem with that, Joe? I mean, that was the plan.
Actually, I do. Yeah, when Marv Levy used to coach that team, he didn't play any of his guys in the preseason. Reasoning
Bill Belichick played everyone.
Having a star player get injured, it's just not worth it.
But I mean, you could get injured doing a lot of different things.
You could, I guess.
I mean, hitting a
proof of that so far this preseason.
Hitting a tackling sledge or whatever.
They got eight guys who are out injured. I can't help but have some questions on that.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to second guess that. I am going to say that, Warren had one carry, and on that one carry, he got driven down by this kid Andreessen. It was a good tackle, but he got, and that's I think where he hurt his leg. What are you going to do? I mean, it can happen in practice too. It can happen. Listen, the most physical part of this whole entire training camp was a Friday Night Lights at Latrobe. They went after each other there, and that could have resulted in an injury too. But at some point, you have to gear them up for this. You know,
yeah, you
I think
know what? I'd rather see this all the fruition of the big bad physical Steelers who are going to tackle in camp and play all their guys. How about converting a fourth and two? That'd be nice, Paul.
Well, that's what I keep.
They were
0
for 3 on fourth down, by the way.
That's what I mean. You have to be able to move the. You have to be able to move, the chains consistently in order to score. So to me, it just doesn't make sense that everyone's getting all excited about Justin Fields because he ran the ball a few times and made some plays that we know he's going to make. I mean, at the end of the day, and this is I was on the final word last night with Chris Carter, and you know. I said, does anyone want to account for the fact that they only scored 3 points in this game?
And the previous game, they were even worse.
Yes. It's like we're talking about an offense that scored 3 points.
It just feels like a level of delusion has encircled. And I'm looking at the city skyline. It feels like we're all living under this delusion. Then you have Tomlin during an interview talking about how both our quarterbacks, they wanted to be here. I like guys that run to the battle and not from it. Wait, so they had a big choice? both those guys had choices to go to a bunch of places? That's not what I saw. They're both desperate. This is the last chance saloon for both of them. It feels delusional on some level.
It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is just, again, it's just going in the face of reality. Now, again, regular season starts. Maybe things get a little bit different. It gets a little bit more fun. They get a little bit more productive, but who knows? And by the way, Joe, as you can see, they're having their pre-game meeting right now, which means all hell is about to break loose down here.
We're down at Heinz Field here.
If you look out there, Joe, there's cars lined up all the way down, what is that, West General Robbins Street? And then down even almost to PNC Park, waiting in line to get in here to get these backpacks that we're giving out.
Come on in and pitch in. We're right down here, Gold Lot 1A. And it's for Pittsburgh public school kids to ensure a good school year. Happy to be here. Our coverage there on the Fan of a Little Football Talk was presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You want to get in on the conversation here, the quarterbacks, what they're doing to Broderick Jones, the offensive line, the offense in general, playing guys too much, having a big, bad physical training camp that has now, and again, I'm not pointing to, you know, these injuries as simply the that being the cause of them, but I can't help but note that the injury list is big and significant at this point.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Paul Zeiss and myself right here in the middle of the action at Acrisure Stadium. It is the Pittsburgh Public School Stuff Backpack Drive, hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS. And there's a lot more than backpacks happening here as far as donations and all kinds of stuff that you can join in. I believe top of the hour, we are at Gold Lot 1A. Just pull right through, drop off whatever you have, and keep things moving. That's the way we're doing it here. Tons of volunteers doing great work here. So come on out, say hello, stop over at the show. And man, do we have a lot of stories happening right now with the Steelers. The latest, there's also the Brandon Ayuk situation where, excuse me, I saw where Michael Silver, they don't have a deal done yet.
No.
So first it was the Steelers were at the goal line. Unfortunately, Matt Canada called the next play. Then it was at the Niners were at the goal line. And I don't know who's calling plays for them. They usually call pretty good plays, but they don't have a deal yet. So clearly, this is still an open-ended situation. Michael Silver, who's great, covers all the San Francisco teams, wrote yesterday that the 49ers are looking for a player. I think he may have also written that the Steelers were balking at the idea of a second-round pick. I don't know. That can't be it. Here's what he said. This is Michael Silver on the Niners. The 49ers, who are in last dance mode, want a current player included in any trade. The Steelers were unwilling to start with any of the starters, such as Pickens, Freiermuth, Minka. The 49ers craved. They craved those guys. Pittsburgh is willing to give up second and third round draft picks, however, leading the Niners to explore a different strategy using one of those picks to try to pry a productive receiver from a third team. Now, this was just Saturday that he reported this. So, Bob, let me go to you first here. Pat Freiermuth? Like, would I give up Pat Freiermuth to get Brandon Ayuk plus and a draft pick plus Freiermuth? Yes. It's like the old saying, here's my advice. I'm not using it. They don't use Freiermuth, and I'm not convinced that they're going to use him a ton more with Arthur Smith or that he's some kind of, you know, all-pro player. In fact, I think I can get a lot of guys, maybe even somebody from another team late in training camp, who can approximate the production that we've seen from Freiermuth for 2 years, which is about 40 catches, a couple touchdowns, and below average blocking. Absolutely, I would send him to San Francisco. You?
Unlike a lot of people, I believe that Brandon Ayuk is a good player, not a great player. I think he's asking it and probably going to get far more than I think he's worth. He's a good upgrade. There's no question about that. But for Freiermuth, I mean, if that's what it came to, and if I believe I can do this, probably. But I still think they need tight ends to operate efficiently here. And he's the one guy who I think, given the fact that he should be motivated for a new deal, if he doesn't get it now, he'll get it sometime. He should work, you know, and I think he's going to have a big year. Arthur Smith targeted tight ends quite a bit in Atlanta as an offensive guy in charge of that team. So I think there's an enhanced role for the tight end, and he needs to be, because other than that, they don't use Darnell Washington all that much, although he's a better blocker than everyone, and they don't have many other options there. So I still think his role is important, but I guess if a deal has to get done and they believe they need a wide receiver, although if I'm that wide receiver, I may look at this offense and say, how much am I going to be a part of it? And there's a lot of different takes there. I'm not sold on Brandon Ayuk as a complete difference maker that your team becomes a media contender. I guess that's what I'm saying, Paul.
Paul, would you send Freiermuth there? Let me expand the question. Do you think that Ayuk is using the Steelers at this point? Do you think he realistically would come here?
I think that he would, but I also think that I have a hard time believing the 49ers who have George Kittle would want Freiermuth. He does nothing for them. He doesn't make them better. Pickens makes them better, but why would you do that if you're the Steelers?
Yeah,
that would be stupid.
That? Or Minkah. That's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Well, the thing is, at least with Minkah, you're not flip-flopping, a receiver for a receiver. The whole point of getting Ayuk is because you need two receivers. By giving away one of them, you're not making yourself better. You want to tell me that they have some young stud, safety that's capable of approximating what Minkah Fitzpatrick does? Okay, that could make some sense because you're giving away a defensive player for Ayuk. I can honestly say, Joe, this story has turned into this whole thing. Maybe it's just the reporting of it, but if I'm the 49ers, right, and I really want Ayuk, I give him the $30 million or whatever, you know what I mean, and move on.
Why hasn't it happened?
Because I don't think they want to pay him $30 million.
Right, so to me, it's still a story. I know we're all sick of it.
My point is, if you're Ayuk and his agent, isn't there a point where you just say, okay, let's just take the money and move on, or say, listen, tell you what we're going to do. See, they want their cake and want to eat it too. They want to have all the security done of a new deal before this season starts. So to me, your choices are pretty simple. Take the $28 to $30 million that you're getting offered by the 49ers, which apparently is not enough for you.
Because of the taxes out there, that's a big difference.
Right.
Allow
them to trade you to the Patriots because they're going to pay you $32 million a year, which is what has been reported. And you know what? You might play with a bad quarterback for a few years, but who cares? You got your money.
Or a good one.
Or you got your money. But I'm saying, or you get your money. Or bet on yourself. Play this year. And be gone. And we'll get, when you leave, we'll get, a second round or third round or whatever the compensation is. Compensatory pick we'll get when you leave.
Would you send them Freiermuth if that's what did it?
Yes, why wouldn't you? My point is, I don't know that. Whenever I heard Freiermuth's name involved in it, I'm like, how would that make sense for them?
But, I mean, haven't we reached the point in the NFL where a tight end is really a receiver? I mean, he's a guy who catches the ball. So is Kittle, really.
Yeah, but...
So is Debo. Debo's a bunch of everything. And then you have...
But is Freiermuth really... Okay, you got Kittle. You're going to line Freiermuth up.
If they want to, they may have something cooked up. Maybe it doesn't make sense for them. But if that's the guy they want, I'll drive him to the airport. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. What if it was Jalen Warren they wanted?
Well, what are they going to do with him, though? They have Christian McCaffrey. I don't know what they would want.
And by the way,
McCaffrey's a guy that gets hurt a lot. What if they say we want Jalen Warren?
I'd do it because I can get running backs. I love Jalen Warren. By the way, with Freiermuth, I think he could have a good year. I think he's a good player. So when I say I'll drive him to the airport, that's to get Ayuk. That's really not a statement on Freiermuth.
Yeah, I think Freiermuth's a good player. But it just doesn't make sense.
I think I can find other tight ends to approximate his production.
He's the one guy it wouldn't make a lot of sense for. The 49ers, because they already have Kittle.
Bob, would you trade Jalen Warren there?
I don't know. I like Jalen Warren a lot and what they're trying to do here with him. Knowing that Najee Harris has a fifth-year option, which they didn't pick up, I don't know if I'd do that. Again, most of my feeling here is that I think the Steelers are being asked to give up a lot more than I think Brandon Ayuk will bring in return. I like the receiver, don't get me wrong. But I also remember the first 2 years where he was in Shanahan's doghouse and his production was not there. So I don't know how much they want But I, you know, and I know they need help at the second wide receiver. I know that. So I don't know who else is available. If you don't do this, then you're going to end up going for a bunch of guys like we saw James Washington release. We see all these players who are not going to be any salvation, and you may have to sign one of them if they're not sold on what they have as the second receiver. So it is kind of a difficult situation.
Offense. Yeah, their offense stinks in the preseason at least. And I didn't know Purdy had the best passer rate. Who's the NFL's best quarterback on throws 15 or more yards down the field? And Ayuk had a lot to do with that, because I think, what was he, first or second in the NFL? Mm-hmm. In Pickens.
But that offense is totally different than this offense, though. You know, that's the other thing. How much will he be featured, and how will this affect George Pickens? And I ask this respectfully because it is, you know, a guy who wants to eventually get the kind of money. And if he does get results because Ayuk gets attention, that will result in future payments. I guess nobody, you know, at this point, every year the cap number goes up. But you're going to end up with a guy who's going to want more maybe than Ayuk gets.
412-928-9370. You want to join in on all our Steelers topics. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. You each get 20 seconds to answer this, because this is still the story. It was, it's been, it will be. Is Russell Wilson going to thrive here? Can he still play? Paul?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be fine. I just think that he needs to get the rust off of him. He hasn't played, you know, basically
and
all summer long.
Not get Broderick Jones pushed into his lap either.
Exactly. That would be a big thing, too.
Bob?
I think he can be. I still worry about the age and the potential injury factor. I know how calf injuries are. But I also think that if he gets the proper protection, that he can do a good job. But there are a lot of ifs in that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.